Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely day. Yeah, right. We're doing a tag this morning on serving, and we're stop the clock. We've got 6 minutes each, and we're going to go for it. I'm speaking about serving in the workplace, in the marketplace. And I want to start by just reading a very well-known scripture that Jesus himself spoke. In Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, I think Jesus made a lot of statements along the way, first time out, and the disciples didn't comprehend it, didn't take. And so a little later on, Jesus in John 13, he demonstrates what servanthood is by just getting a bowl of water and a cloth and gets down and washes their feet. And we're a bit like that, aren't we? We need sometimes to get something three or four times before the light comes on. And it seems like since the beginning of time, mankind has struggled in putting together or putting the interests of others ahead of themselves. We're just not wired that way. It has to be something that God does in our hearts, or letting the others benefit at our expense. That's pretty heavy. So in the business and the workplace, we want to sometimes, we know we're meant to be in a place to work. God's opened a door. He's given us this job. And it's like you can't pick your relatives and you can't pick your workmates, but you can pick your friends. And unfortunately, your friends are not in the workplace and you've got to somehow get alongside these people that are not necessarily of your choosing, and yet they may have skills and talents that contribute to what needs to happen. And if we were to show servanthood the way Jesus is trying to, or try to get through to the disciples, and we know it's also for us, will our actions be misconstrued? Will we be considered to be weak if we were to put others before ourselves? If we were to help others, maybe get promoted even ahead of us. I'm sure we've all got a story or two of working for a boss or alongside a colleague who could be categorized as difficult, mean, a tyrant, a bully, a scumbag, a boss who puts profit before people. We've all been in the workplace. We know there's all kinds out there, and yet we, the body of Christ, are to somehow to go and influence those people one by one, and we've got to believe that God has put us in a place, even if it's only for a short season, to influence somebody by our words and our actions. My father became a Christian out of the business world, and he struggled in the first two or three years of his Christian walk, believing that you cannot be a Christian and a businessman. You had to separate the two, because it's dog eat dog out there, and if you were to show some kind of weakness or some sort of softness in a business environment, it would be misinterpreted. And so he really took a few years to apply what he believed were principles that God was trying to get across. And I think we can all look back possibly at somebody who has influenced our life in the area of servanthood, that we have been able to go and apply those things. Our family, back in the early days, we're in the seafood industry, and we were processing seafood, and we'd have full-time and part-time workers. And during the day, for sure, something would go wrong with one of the machines. And if you're dealing with seafood, you can't just put it back and bring it out again. You've got to process it on the day. And if something broke down, it puts you behind schedule. And so we as a family would be expected to work until we completed the job. And often we would go to bed 11 or 12 o'clock at night and get up 5 or 6 and start the new day. But there was one particular guy who was a part-time farmer and working for us as well, and he would just stay back. And it really impressed my parents that this guy, without even being asked, he would say, "I'm here to help." And I know it influenced my father in a big way, that he just saw this guy's heart. He wasn't getting a big pay increase as a result of it. It was just an emergency, something needed to happen. And he did it without even being asked. And he did it again and again, often, when the equipment broke down. And it's those kinds of people that you look at and you think there's something about them. They've got something. And we know the gift of serving is in certain people. You just need to watch sometimes that TV One program, Good as Gold. And you see somebody in a community that just influences a whole community. People rally around them and they don't think too much of it, but their heart is to serve. And it draws people. And friends, we too have got to apply that when we into our own workplace. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." It's to do with our work. It's to do with our daily lives. Whatever you do, work heartily. Heartily is you put your heart and soul into it, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance as your reward. For you are serving Christ. That means doing the best possible job you can. And as for the Lord, you're doing it for the Lord and not for men. And friends, today I believe we've got to shine in the workplace. We've got to demonstrate the Christian character. We've got to demonstrate the qualities that people are looking for, because often they do not see that we walk the talk. We're something in church on Sunday, but we somehow do not demonstrate what we know is truth during the week. Remember, to be a true server requires two things: time and effort. It calls for going above and beyond, which is required of you. Because it's part of our character. It's part of our integrity. We will do it because it's asked of us. You might have to be asked to go that extra mile. So that's the, if you like, the employee, that we've got to put our shoulders to the plow and help that business succeed, help that employer, whether he's a tyrant or not. We're here to serve God, and God's put people around us, and we've got to have the eyes to see those that he wants us to demonstrate servanthood in which to win them for him. Rather than just say, it's a job. Actually, it's a good paying job, and I'll endure, I'll put up with it. But actually, those people that we rub shoulders with are the ones that we can influence by our actions. And then it comes to Colossians 4:1, deals with the bosses. And it says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair," meaning those that work for you, honor them, reward them, encourage them, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And God sees everything. He sees us in our workplace. He sees us in our church environment, our home, and our recreation. God knows us. He knows where he's put us. And in his wisdom, he wants us to succeed. So keep in mind always the ultimate master who we are serving is Jesus Christ. And let me just finish by just sharing a couple of thoughts with you. The Bible's got parables and teachings that give us wisdom regarding how to approach our careers, our work, and our studies, and in turn how to respond to difficult overseers, difficult work environments. The obvious one is to fast and pray. I've spent time with people who have struggled in their workplace, and they have gone out and fasted and prayed, and weeks, months later, they've seen an amazing change take place as they have asked the Lord to move in their situation. We've always drummed it into our kids because it was drummed into us. Arrive early and be the last to leave. You know? If you're asked to go 1 mile, go two. You might have a really difficult person you're working alongside and you don't know how to reach them. drop a birthday present on their desk or their situation one day. They don't even have to know who it's from. But even rough, tumbly kind of people have soft hearts inside. Often the exterior doesn't reflect the cry of their hearts. And there's little things we can do. And I know a friend who in his workplace, he would go and just pray over his machinery and places in his factory before the day started, get in there early and pray that God would somehow touch the hearts of those people. We've got to see that God has put those people alongside us and us alongside them in order to influence them for Jesus Christ, to serve them. And also when you see people succeed and do well, compliment them, encourage them. Even if they're rough people, compliment them, encourage them of their potential and what they've achieved. And if you work for a boss, help him to succeed and may the business flourish, even if it's not a Christian business. Just go for it and let those people see that you're really there to serve them and to influence them. Amen.
And tag, I'm it. So I am carrying on from John's message on serving in the workplace, but I'm going to be focusing on serving in the home. You know, we often think of serving as outside the home, whether it be volunteering at church or in community service and things like that. And whilst those things are great, serving first and foremost needs to be happening in our home. John's already mentioned this verse, but, you know, Jesus himself came to serve, not to be served. He came to serve. If he, the King of Kings, comes to serve, then who are we to expect to be served? We also need to be following in his footsteps, and we should be committed to serving others as well. So in the home, I think it is important that we create this culture of serving. It's about creating and establishing a culture whereby we put each other's needs before our own. You first, no you first, no you first. And when we're all doing that, it creates a healthy balance. You know when you first get married and it's that first time of living together, back in the day when Sean and I were dating, we then got engaged, our friends felt like they had front row seats into what it was going to be like when Shauna and I first moved in together, because they knew that we're both quite strong-minded people. And they were thinking, here we go, we're in for a really good fight here. But to be honest, that did not eventuate. I mean, obviously we're not perfect by any stretch of the mean, but living together was never an area of contention for us. I mean, yes, we have things that annoy each other, and I tend to be quite a multitask person, so I will start one thing over here, and then I may take a tea towel from the kitchen to the laundry, and then I notice something in the laundry, and I've already created a mess in the kitchen, and so you can see where I've been in the house. I mean, maybe it's a woman thing, I don't know. But and whilst we're sharing things that annoy each other, Sean is still learning that dirty clothes go inside the clothes basket, not on top of the clothes basket or beside the clothes basket, but inside the clothes basket. But I won't, this is not our time to air dirty laundry, but I do think that, I do think that in putting each other before ourselves, by serving and creating a culture within our home that is of service, that's what works. And right from a young age, we encourage our children to be a part of that culture, to be a part of the family culture that serves, whether it's feeding the chickens or emptying the dishwasher or watering the plants or collecting the eggs. We had our first egg laid yesterday, can I just add? It's been a long time coming. Caden was convinced we needed to put the chickens in the oven. But no, that we are now being productive, so that's good. And when we model a servant heart to our children, we are teaching them that by putting others first, there is real joy in that. Joy comes when we see the satisfaction of serving others. And you've got to find what works for your strengths. What works for our family may not work for another household. In our home, Sean is a far better cook than I am. I can follow a recipe, but he just naturally can make things taste yum. So we work with that strength. And Sean cooks probably 95% of the time in our house. But I'm quite happy to tidy up, to do the dishes and put the kids to bed. Find what works in your family. But I also believe that in setting this culture, you need to set the atmosphere. And setting an atmosphere for us is often having just worship music playing in the background. If there is worship music playing, creating that atmosphere where it's natural, just, you know, if a kid comes in and they're hurt, just naturally pray for them. Naturally, it's not a weird thing. It just becomes part of that culture. Serving in the home requires humility, patience, and a willingness to put others' needs before our own, and it's not easy. It does take work, but it is worth it. And when we serve our families in this way, we demonstrate the love of Christ, and we create a home environment that is warm, loving, and full of grace. And others will notice it. Like John was saying, it will draw people in. You know, we often have friends at our home, and I pray and I hope that in them being in our place, that they will feel blessed just by being there as well. That verse from Colossians, that John mentioned from Colossians 3, verse 23, was actually our memory verse at school this week. And so Xavier, wherever you are, he's in my class. He should know this verse, as should my two boys. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. When we serve our families with all our heart, we are not just serving them, but we are serving Christ himself. So I want you to take the call to serve in the home seriously. Whether you're a parent or a spouse or a child or a caregiver, there are many ways that you can serve others around you with a humble and a willing heart. So let us follow the example of Christ himself, who came to be served. He came to serve and not to be served. Let us create homes that reflect his love and that reflect his grace. Tag.
Is it my turn now to share? No. Not about that. I got given I found my topic was probably the hardest one, but I'm talking, following on from John and Ruth, I'm going to be talking about serving in the church, and not quite as we would think about it. So, as we know, the church is not actually just a building and a place that we go to on a Sunday, but the church is actually the body of Christ. We, as all the members or believers in Christ, form the church. And as members, we have a responsibility to serve one another and to contribute to the well-being or the overall well-being of the entire body. And what that looks like is it takes place in various different forms. And I think, you know, even this morning, praying for other people is an act of service to them as well. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul speaks of the church as a body with many members. He writes, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all of the members of that one body, being many, are also one in Christ. Just as different parts of our physical body work together for the health and the function of the whole entire body, so too do we as members of our church or of the church need to work together for the health and function of the body of believers." So we serve for many reasons. But ultimately, we serve because it is an expression of our love for God towards others, or for our love of God and for others. We serve because it is a way that we can love on God. Jesus says in Matthew 22, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your soul and all your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." When we serve in the church, or when we serve as a body of members, we are demonstrating our love for God by serving one another, by serving his people, and by serving his kingdom. It is a tangible way to show that our gratitude, to show God our gratitude for what He has done for us, and to worship Him through our physical actions. I think there's that saying, you know, words are cheap, but actions speak louder. We serve in church as a way to love on others. As Christians, we are called to serve and to love one another. In John 13, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." That you love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have or if you do love one another. Serving in church allows us to put this commandment into action. We can use our gifts, we can use our talents to help one another and to meet the needs of people out there. Whether that's either volunteering through different ministries, whether it's helping out with practical tasks around the church or helping practical tasks around people's homes. It was quite interesting. My cousin's just arrived actually about 2 months ago from South Africa, and he's got a contracting job doing work for the social ministry, so council homes, and helping them out and doing little odd jobs and fixing things. And he was at a house yesterday morning, and it was a dear old lady, probably in her 80s, I think. And he was doing a bit of reno work in her home, and she offered him a cup of tea and was just talking. He said, "Oh, you know, the neighbors are a bit of a peeping Tom, and I want to fix something up here." So, and look, he's on a journey. I don't know where he is with faith, but he volunteered his time this morning to go and serve this lady and go do some gardening work at her home to create something so that the neighbors actually can't see into his house. And I'm thinking, wow, that's actually a really cool challenge. When was the last time we did something out of love for somebody else? I know we used to do something a while back at church, but yeah, when was the last time you just went and did something for somebody, you know, in service and without any kind of return back? So he doesn't get paid for doing it, he's just serving, which is really, really cool. It inspired me a little bit when he said that. So yeah, volunteering, helping. When we serve in the church, it is because we want to build up the body of Christ. As I mentioned earlier, the church is the body of Christ, and each member plays a vital role in its health and in its growth. When we serve the church, we are contributing to the well-being of the body and helping it to function more efficiently or more effectively. This in turn benefits not just the church, not just ourselves, but the wider community around us, as well as in the wider world around us, as we are all better equipped to carry out God's mission. We're all helping each other, not making it one person's responsibility. There are many areas in which we can serve. Every single one of us has a unique gift. We all have unique talents, and that we all can use to contribute to the benefit of the body. Some may be gifted in music and can serve on the worship team. Others may be skilled in teaching and can serve in ministry or through education. Some may have a heart for the poor and can serve in a ministry that reaches out to the marginalized of our community. Whatever our gifts and our passions are, there is a place for all of us to serve one another. Serving is not just for the select few. It is for all of us, as Paul writes in Ephesians. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for edifying the body of Christ." The pastors, teachers, and leaders of the church are here to equip us for the ministry that's ahead. They're not there to do all the work themselves. Each and every one of us has a part to play in building up the body of Christ. Serving is not just about fulfilling or filling a vacancy or a need that's out there. It's about being part of something greater than ourselves. It's about using our gifts and our talents to build up the body of Christ to be a blessing to others. When we serve in the church, we are serving Christ himself. When we're serving others, like John has mentioned and like Ruth has mentioned, we are serving Christ himself. As he says in Matthew 25, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done for me." When we serve others, we are serving him. But serving in the church or serving each other is not always easy. Even in the home, it's not always easy. And in the workplace, it's not always easy. It can be tiring. It can be frustrating. And it can even be discouraging at times. And I think, you know, we've all been down that track before. We may feel like our efforts are not appreciated or that we are just not making any difference at all. But we must remember that our service is not about us. It's not about us. It's about serving Christ and serving others. We must persevere in our service, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. So in conclusion, serving in the church is not just a duty or an obligation. It's a privilege and it's an honor. It's an opportunity for us to use our gifts and our talents to build up the body of Christ and to be a blessing to others. It's an opportunity to serve Jesus himself. Let us be faithful in our service, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. We're going to get the band up to finish off our worship in a moment, so I'll prepare them now while I finish off. So we serve in the church because it's an expression of our love for God and for others. It allows us to put our faith into action. As the word says, faith without deeds is dead, right? And it helps us to build up the body of Christ. So may we all continue to serve with joy and with gratitude, knowing that we are serving the Lord and we are serving all of his people as well. So this is the part where we get a big long list and we say, right, where can you guys all serve? No, it's not about that this morning. It was just around encouraging us, you know, we are all part of one body, all part of one members. And it's not just about here. It's about being in the home, being in the workplace and doing what Christ encourages us to do in serving our community, in serving our world, and actually being the salt and the light that is out there.